Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Shalom, fellow infidels, and welcome to another episode of The Danger Zone, right here on Israel News Talk Radio. I'm your host, Gadi Edelman. Thank you for joining us today. As usual, a lot to cover and not enough time to cover it all. So I have chosen one thing in particular that I'd like to discuss today. But before we even get into that, before we even really start the show, I would like everyone to send out their thoughts and prayers to Sergeant Elor Azaria. And I'm sure everyone by now knows that name. He, of course, is the former IDF sergeant who was convicted of manslaughter for the shooting death of a wounded Arab terrorist back in March 2016. He was hospitalized yesterday after he passed out and was unconscious while performing what was called cleanup and maintenance work at the Army base where he is being held in custody while he awaits his appeal. He was taken to the hospital for medical examinations, and they have decided to keep him under the several different concerns. One and the most important is that they believe he fainted due to severe emotional stress, and they are worried that he may be at risk for harming himself. So our thoughts and prayers, of course, go out to Sergeant Elor Azaria and his friends and family. Today, what I'd like to discuss on today's show is last Wednesday, Abu Mazen, otherwise known as Mahmoud Abbas, had a meeting with President Trump's senior advisor, Jared Kushner, and Jared, of course, is also his son-in-law, along with the Middle East envoy, Jason Greenblatt, and U.S. Consul General out of Jerusalem, Donald Blum. They met last Wednesday night, and that is what we are going to talk about today, because as usual, when you hear what the so-called Palestinians and Abu Mazen, Mahmoud Abbas, when you hear what they say to their people and then what they say to the world at large, as usual, it's reminiscent of his mentor, Yasser Arafat, who was really good about how to say one thing to the world and one thing to his own people. And I want to cover what these so-called Palestinians are so upset about. And we are going to dissect all that today. And hopefully you'll stick around. You'll learn a little bit and you'll enjoy the program. And we will be right back after this.
Jew haters, beware. Political hitman is here. Who's in my crosshairs? Who's in my hot seat? I'm Howie Silberger. Join me Sundays at noon Eastern, 7 Israeli, and Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 9 Israeli, for a political hitman, only on Israel News Talk Radio.
We are back. Thank you, everyone, for hanging on through the break. Shalom, fellow infidels. You are listening to The Danger Zone right here on Israel News Talk Radio. I'm your host, Gadi Edelman. Don't forget, you can find me over at Facebook. Got two different pages, Gadi Edelman. One is a fan page. My personal page is full. Please follow me there. You can find me at Gadi Edelman, G-A-D-I-A-D-E-L-M-A-N, and also over on Twitter, at Gadi Edelman. Anyway, so today I wanted to talk about the Palestinian Authority, the so-called Palestinians who are whining as usual. Let me explain what's going on here. You know, last Wednesday, Jared Kushner, the senior advisor, one of the senior advisors to President Donald Trump, as well as the Trump envoy to the Middle East, Jason Greenblatt, and U.S. Consul General out of Jerusalem, Donald Blum, they all met with Abu Mazen, otherwise known as Mahmoud Abbas, in Ramallah last Wednesday. Now, the White House described the meeting, and I quote, as productive. But the Palestinians, these so-called Palestinians, they had a different take on it, and they seem to be really, really upset. Okay, so they're really upset, all kidding aside, but it is funny. And when we get into why they're upset, hopefully you'll be laughing too. But they are a little bit upset because they feel that the United States has taken the side of Israel. Oh my God. Perhaps maybe the United States is only taking the side of the one that is correct. No, it can't be something that simple. Anyway, so, you know, they don't have a name for this. I mean, they're trying to bring the so-called Palestinians and the Israelis back to the peace table and sit down and try and hash out, no pun intended, trying to hash out a, that was a joke from Lebanon, never mind. They're trying to hash out a peace agreement between the two sides. Like every other president since just about 1948 has attempted to do, and no one's been able to do it. Maybe it's time we ask ourselves, why can't this happen? If we look at what Israel's done, and we look at what the so-called Palestinians have done, we don't have to look far as to who's right and who's wrong. But nonetheless, the Palestinians are extremely upset. So I decided, you know, everybody seems to really love acronyms. Lately, everything has an acronym, and they use names of organizations and names of deals and everything else. I mean, even the MOAB, the mother of all bombs that was dropped on ISIS recently in Afghanistan, acronym MOAB. So I decided we needed an acronym for this, trying to start the peace talks again, trying to get the Israelis and the so-called Palestinians back to the table. Well, they seem to be so upset about this last meeting that I think I've come up with an acronym, and we're going to call it the Palestinian so-called deal on funds and future, because they're really upset over the fact that the United States is complaining about the fact that they're funding terrorists, those that have been imprisoned, those that have been released from prison, and of course, if that terrorist has died, their families. Well, you know, Allah forbid the United States should be a little bit concerned over the fact that the Palestinian Authority is giving them funds. So, and of course, this is all about the future state of Palestine. So I want to call this, the acronym will be, the name will be Palestinian so-called deal and funds on future and future, which would be the PSDOFF, otherwise known as pissed off. So, yes, we now have the pissed off deal. That's what I'm going to call this just for the rest of the show. So everybody can be as pissed off about pissed off as the Palestinians who seem to be really pissed off. So we've got the Palestinian so-called deal on funds and future. So why am I calling it pissed off? Well, as I mentioned a moment ago, the Palestinian Authority, even though the United States has said that this meeting was productive, the Palestinian Authority has come out and said, no, not only wasn't it productive, but it was horrible. I mean, the United States just came in full of demands, and all those demands are from the Israeli side. They didn't even want to listen to our side of things. And it was reported on Saturday out of London in the daily Arabic paper, Al Hayat. It was reported that President Trump is now debating whether or not to even pull out of the Israeli-Arab peace talks altogether. Because even though the White House has said it was productive, and mind you, initially, and this is where we get into the Palestinian Authority saying one thing on the world stage and one thing to his own people, on the world stage, the Palestinian Authority chairman, Mahmoud Abbas, otherwise known as Abu Mazen, and I'm going to explain why I keep saying Abu Mazen in a moment, but the chairman, Mahmoud Abbas, Abu Mazen, said immediately following this meeting, it was, and I quote, positive and fruitful. But then he went on to describe it as tense, with the U.S. putting down demands that he stop incitement against Israel. Well, Really? I mean, let's just think about that one sentence right there. The U.S. is demanding that we stop incitement against Israel. How horrendous of them. What is the matter with the United States? Who do they think they are trying to bring peace to an area? And in order to start that peace process, maybe one of the two sides who is creating incitement ought to stop. How dare they make such a demand? You know, the humor in this, it goes far and beyond the acronym that I came up with of pissed off. Because the humor, you couldn't write this stuff as a comedy fiction because nobody would believe it. I mean, even if it was fiction, nobody would even, they wouldn't even want to read it. And it's just, it cracks me up. During the meeting, Abbas claims that him paying salary to terrorists was, and I quote, part of the Palestinian government's social responsibility. Yes, let me repeat that for you. He actually came out and stated that they're paying the terrorist salaries while in Israeli prisons, some of them with blood on their hands, life sentences, is, quote, part of the Palestinian government's social responsibility. Well, if that is your government's social responsibility, maybe Israel needs to think twice about whether or not they want to even make peace with such a, forget make peace. How about trying to achieve any type of anything that would be in the realm of the definition of peaceful? You're stating from the outset that it is your social responsibility to pay people that have killed innocent civilians for no other reason than they were in Israel, which you consider to be your land, and thereby it's okay, and yes, we want to sit down at the peace table. This is how stupid it is. This is how just tear your hair out, mind-boggling, makes absolutely no sense that every time this man opens his mouth, and for that matter, he's more moderate when he comes to opening his mouth than some of his own people, and we're going to get into that, but it's just ludicrous that something as simple as, listen, if you want to come and sit down and talk peace, you have to stop the incitement with the people you're supposedly wanting to make peace with, and that's horrendous. Oh my Allah, how dare you make such a demand from us? Well, that's what we're hearing from Mahmoud Abbas. That is the lunacy of Mahmoud Abbas. Now, very quickly, I want to put this, you know, I keep calling him Abu Mazen. I want to quote very quickly a little piece that was written here by our friend, Jack Engelhard. And we've interviewed Jack on this show before. Many of you remember he's the author who wrote the fantastic fiction novel called Indecent Proposal. Well, Jack Engelhard spoke about the fact that Jared went to Israel, Jared Kushner, and is trying to bring Abu Mazen to the peace table. And I just want to read one little part. For those that may not know, Mahmoud Abbas, otherwise known as Abu Mazen, you know, his real name, in case they don't know his past history. And he touches on it here in this op-ed that he wrote. And he says, I understand that you will be meeting with Abbas, the man who personifies worldwide Islamic terrorism with a smile and a shine. With him you intend to make peace? I should not have to tell you about the Ma'alot massacre, the Passover massacre, the Munich Olympics massacre, Klinghoffer, and so much more in which he had a hand. Nor should I have to remind you that he stirs up incitement about the Temple Mount whenever business is slow. For sure, you must know that that he pays his people to murder Jews. You do know this, right? End quote. Well, that's from Jack Engelhard. And you know, a lot of people don't know the actual history of the leader of the so-called Palestinian people. And he did have his hand in all the above mentioned and much, much more. Quite frankly, and quite possibly, even a hand in the terrorist bombing that I survived in 1975. Yes, that's how far back he goes, being the right-hand man to Yasser Arafat, back when they were just known as the PLO and the Fatah organization within the PLO. They were responsible for the Maalot massacre, the Passover massacre, the Munich Olympics massacre, the Klinghoffer death on the cruise ship, and so much more. That is who Israel is supposed to sit down and make peace with. We're going to talk about all that when we come back right after this.
Hi, everybody. This is Jay Shapiro, and I want to know if you're having trouble figuring out what's happening here in the Middle East. Are you confused by all the information coming at you, and are you losing sleep because you're worried about Israel? Well, I have a program each week in which I try to get behind the news and analyze what's really happening in simple terms so you don't have to be an expert to be knowledgeable. Keep tuned to the Jay Shapiro program each week, and we'll try to stay awake together.
We are back. Thank you, everyone, for hanging on through the break. You are listening to The Danger Zone. I'm your host, Gadi Edelman, here on Israel News Talk Radio. I had a little bit of a faux pas in that last segment. I just want to clarify. I had said that Abbas, Mahmoud Abbas, had described initially the meeting as being, quote, positive and fruitful. That came out of the U.S. side after the meeting when they said that it was positive and fruitful, but Abbas described it as tense. So, you know, let's just get into this a little bit. It's pretty interesting, and I do want to mention, before I get sidetracked here, I do want to mention that both Jared Kushner and the ambassador to Israel from the United States, David Friedman, they actually visited the family of Sergeant Major Hadass Malka, who was murdered along with the four others that were wounded last week in Jerusalem in that stabbing, shooting terrorist attack. They visited her family, and I just wanted to throw that out there because that shows, it really goes a lot deeper when you think about it. They didn't have to do that. I mean, they've got a lot on their plate. They've got a lot to do, a little bit of time to do it. And while in Jerusalem, they went and paid a visit, their condolences, to the family of Sergeant Major Hadass Malka. And that says a lot. Also, David Friedman, the U.S. ambassador to Israel, as you may have noticed, was not part of the meeting with Mahmoud Abbas. Why is that? Oh, that's right. They refused to meet with the U.S. ambassador to Israel because of his past dealings, if you want to refer to it as dealings, with his support of the quote-unquote building of quote-unquote settlements over the quote-unquote green line. You know, we could just put it in plain English and say the building of homes for Israelis in what really is Israeli sovereign territory. But yeah, so they refused to meet with him because of that, and that just says something right there. I mean, they are putting up every possible roadblock that they can, obviously, and I've explained before on this show, if peace were ever to be achieved, regardless of what Israel gives up, regardless of how Israel gives in, regardless of how it ends up, if peace is actually ever achieved, the Palestinians will lose all their funding. I mean, overnight. They do not want peace. They are making more money right now by being the poor, downtrodden, apartheid, subjugated Palestinian people and have been since 1948. And this is where all their funds comes from. This is where they make all their money. They're not doing anything in their own area to bring in money. They have no export to speak of. They have nothing monetary to speak of. Their money all comes from different organizations, different donations, different world bodies who give them money every single month because they are the poor, poor people without a home. And, you know, they don't want peace. They know exactly what I just said. Their money will dry up the moment that they become a sovereign state of their own. It's not going to happen because they don't want it to happen. And if it were to happen, the only way they will allow it to happen is if every single Jew on every square inch of land anywhere inside Israel is uprooted and moved somewhere else, and they are given all that land. That is about the only way that they will ever sign any type of, quote, peace treaty, unquote. It's not going to happen, people. And anybody who's followed this for any length of time is well aware of the fact that, once again, this is not opinion. This is not an educated guess. This is fact if you listen to what they say. And I wish more people would be out there speaking about what they say and what they do, because it's so obvious. If people would take the time just to educate themselves a little bit on the truth and the history of the so-called Palestinian people. They do not want peace. They never have. They never will. And if Israel were to obtain any sort of peace treaty with these people, where Israel remains in its place, it's just going to open up the floodgates to a massive, massive military conflict between these so-called Palestinians. The terrorism's not going to stop, only then it won't be called terrorism, because they'll have sovereign borders, Israel will have sovereign borders, and when they attack, it will be a war. It will be a huge military conflict with all of the influx of these so-called refugees. All of a sudden, we're going to have all these new Palestinians coming in from all over the world, and the numbers are going to be one-sided. You will have a lot more Arab Muslims on the Palestinian side than the amount of Jews and those in the Israeli Defense Forces that you have on the Israeli side, and it will be a bloodbath. And that's exactly what they want. That is exactly what they want. Now, I did want to discuss a little bit about what took place in the meeting. Now, a senior Palestinian official had told the London newspaper Al-Hayat that Kushner was tasked with writing a report on his meetings, which would then determine whether or not Trump would proceed with his pursuit of what is being described as the, quote, ultimate deal. Well, according to that same Palestinian official, Kushner had asked Abbas to present his vision for a political solution, and he also explained that he had asked Benjamin Netanyahu when he met with him to do the same thing. And the sources within the Palestinian Authority have expressed extreme disappointment with the meeting between Abbas and the American delegation, describing the meeting as unsuccessful and claiming that Kushner and his entourage, all they did was present a list of Israeli demands. This is what they walked away with. This is how they came away from this meeting. You are doing nothing but siding with the little Satan. America is the big Satan, and Israel is the little Satan, and the two Satans are siding together, and you are just taking their side, and you didn't want to hear about our plight. You didn't want to hear about our problems. You didn't want to hear about the lack of our electricity and our water and our health care and our money and our on and on and on and on. It's the same thing we've been hearing since the beginning of 1949. Israel became a country in 1948. The UN started this Palestinian organization in 1949, and it's been going on ever since. And it hasn't changed. The talking points are the same. And the only thing that has changed, unfortunately, is the fact that the world, for some bizarre reason, has decided to jump on the bandwagon of being on the Palestinian side. So the Palestinians are upset over this, trying to restart these peace talks. And that is why I'm calling it the Palestinian so-called deal on funds and future, otherwise known by the acronym as pissed off. Because they really are pissed off. And I think they're pissed off with good reason. They're pissed off because now we have a president in the United States that has a backbone, that has bothered to educate himself on the real situation on the ground, has surrounded himself by people who have a, you know, what we call in Yiddish, sechel. They've got some brains, they've got some brain matter between their ears, and they actually are trying to say, all right, look, you guys are inciting violence. You guys are raising your children to hate. You guys are looking the other way when this terrorism happens. You guys are not saying anything when this terrorism happens outside of, oh, we're going to give you money. We're going to name a park after you. We're going to name a school after you. We're going to give you a big hero's welcome, whether you come back in a box or whether you come back because you've been freed in some kind of deal from Israel. And you need to stop that. You need to stop paying your terrorists. You need to stop teaching your children hate. You need to stop inciting violence. You know what's really shocking? These are all things that go all the way back to 1993 and 1994 in the Oslo Accords that gave them the Palestinian Authority. They haven't bothered one iota to adhere to the agreement from the early 90s when they were given the opportunity to have the quote-unquote Palestinian Authority back when Yasser Arafat was in charge. You want to talk about a terrorist? I don't even need to go into Yasser Arafat's background. That man has more blood on his hands than just about anybody I can think of outside of maybe Pol Pot and Hitler. I mean, it's ridiculous that Israel has even been forced by the world diplomacy to try and sit down at a table with these people. It just boggles the mind that the world sits back and not only lets this happen, but then sides with these same individuals. Open your eyes. Read some history and look at who the Palestinians are. Maybe I'll do a show on that. Maybe next week. It depends on what happens in the news. On the history of the so-called Palestinian Authority. On the history of the so-called PLO. Because too many people are totally unaware. How did they even end up where they are? How did they go from Jordan to Syria to Lebanon to now being in Judea and Samaria, otherwise known as the West Bank? How did that even happen? Most people don't know the history. They don't know that they were kicked out of every country that they've ever tried to be in because they try and overthrow every government. They don't know about Black September and why it was called that. Yes, Black September was part of the PLO. It was another terrorist offshoot of the Palestinian Liberation Organization. People don't understand the history, and the world needs to be told over and over and over and over again until they get it through their head. We'll cover more when we get back right after this.
I am Walter Bingham. For the past 12 years, I have each week brought you reports of life and events in Israel and the Jewish world and the news behind the news. The Walter Bingham File, new here on Israel News Talk Radio, will explain the truth to enable you to counter the myths that are spread by the world's media. So if you want to have the facts and without spin, then tune in to The Walter Bingham File every Sunday at 5 p.m. in Israel, 10 a.m. U.S. Eastern Time, here on Israel News Talk Radio.
We are back. Thank you once again for hanging on through the break. You are listening to Gadi Edelman right here on The Danger Zone. So today we are discussing what I've appropriately named PISSED OFF, which is the acronym for the Palestinian so-called deal on funds and future. And we are discussing the pissed off deal because the PLO, the Palestinian Authority, is or seems to be really pissed off. Now, getting back to what took place in this meeting, it's interesting because, and this is according to sources, both out of Israel and the Palestinian Authority, quoted in both Hebrew and Arabic media, that Abbas and his advisors all accused the United States of taking Israel's side, and they refused, listen up, they refuse to demand the demand to stop paying salaries to hundreds of prisoners serving time for the murder of civilians, Israeli soldiers, and Israeli police. Let's just call it murder of anybody who happens to be in Israel. Now, what's interesting, and I say it's interesting, is that according to Jared Kushner, they actually backed off of that a little bit. And initially, the demand would have been that they stop paying all the salaries to anyone who is in Israeli prisons. And now they've backed it down a little bit, saying only to stop paying those that have committed murder, those that have been convicted of murder. So let's just, you know, dissect this for a minute. They're telling the Palestinian Authority, all right, listen, if there's a guy in an Israeli prison who tried to kill some Israelis, and he may have wounded some, but no one died, you can keep paying his salary. Think about that. Because America has now given in to what is still incitement. Because if you're willing to let them pay, they being the Palestinian Authority, if you're willing to let them pay anyone who has been convicted of terrorism, that is still incitement. That still gives the Palestinians on the ground that are not in jail a reason to go out and commit terrorism. Because now what you're doing is you're saying, well, you can pay the guys that were convicted of terrorism so long as they didn't achieve their objective and manage to kill someone. That's what Kushner is saying. He backed it away a little bit and said, well, you can pay some of them. You just can't pay the ones that are convicted of murder. If that's not still an incitement of terror, I don't know what is. But it's good in a way because it shows how much the Palestinians are not willing to budge an iota. They will not even sit down at the table, and they refuse to meet even that demand. Oh, no, no, we're going to pay them all. And if we can't pay them all, and you want to, and you're demanding that we not pay them, then we're not even going to sit down at the table. Now, originally what had happened was Kushner gave Netanyahu and Abbas the same task. Come up with a 12-point bullet point plan of what you need to sit down at the table. He did it for both of them. I'm sure that there were demands made by the Americans, rightly so, and I'm sure there were demands made of the Americans to the Israelis, rightly so, to a certain extent. If you want to create a deal between these two peoples, and I'm being politically correct by saying that, but if you want to try and bring them together to even sit them down at a table, you've got to be in the middle. So to hear the reports coming out of the Arabic media that, you know, the Americans were doing nothing but siding with the Israelis, right after this meeting, the very next day, the meeting took place on Wednesday, and right after this meeting on Thursday, Abbas came out and defended the payments to the Palestinian prisoners. And as I said, he and his people said that they have a, quote, social responsibility, and that Israel was using that demand as a pretext to avoid peace talks. And the world buys into this. Oh my God, it's Israel's fault. How dare they make such a demand? I can't even begin to comprehend that the whole point of bringing these two sides together is supposedly to achieve peace. I can't wrap my mind around the fact that if the two sides are going to sit down to achieve peace, that one side is saying, I'm sorry, we have a social responsibility to pay those people that are trying to kill you. I can't wrap my mind around that. I cannot believe that he gets away with saying such a thing, and the world sits by and still gives him the benefit of the doubt, still says, oh, the so-called Palestinians, the poor people, they're the ones that are being subjugated. Really? Listen to what the man is telling you. That right there tells you, we have no desire to sit down at a peace table. Therefore, we have no desire to achieve peace. How more cut and dry does it have to be? And then later on Thursday, the senior Palestinian negotiator, Saeb Erekat, accused the Netanyahu government, get this, of taking extremist positions. It's the Israelis that are extreme. They're the extremists. Here's an exact quote of what Erekat said. Incitement and glorification of terror have been a long-standing policy by this extremist government, referring to Israel, and further accused the Israelis of trying to, quote, deviate attention from the stalled peace talks by inventing new excuses, such as allegations of incitement, end quote. New excuses? Allegations of incitement? You bring people back to the West Bank, Judea and Samaria, to your area within the Palestinian Authority, whether they be dead terrorists or living ones that were swapped in some kind of deal with Israel, you bring them back to a hero's welcome. That's incitement. You teach your children because they go to parks and schools and walk down streets named after people that have been convicted of or killed while trying to commit murder, while carrying out terrorist acts. You name all these things after these people. That is incitement. You are teaching your children that. You know, as Benjamin Netanyahu explained from the podium in the United Nations, it was not a story that was fiction about the little boy that wakes up and walks down the street named after a terrorist and goes to a soccer team to play soccer in the morning before school named after a terrorist, playing in a park named after a terrorist, and then goes off to school named after a terrorist, and then while in school they learn about terrorists being these heroes. That's not a fictional story. And if that's not incitement, I don't know what your definition of incitement is, but it certainly isn't coming out of the same dictionary as the rest of the world. And they are saying that Israel is making allegations of incitement, and that's inventing a new excuse to not come to the peace table. Israel hasn't said they won't go to the peace table. You have. Israel hasn't said we're going to teach our kids to hate you and want to kill you. You have. Why do I even have to sit here talking about this? When is the world going to open up their ears and open up their eyes and realize these people don't want peace? The only way they see peace is when Israel is totally void of any Jews and they're all dead. That's their definition of peace. So what they're doing in their minds isn't incitement. That's the reason. It is just ludicrous to me that week after week, day after day, month after month, year after year, we have to continue, and I say we, as a collective whole of all the individuals that you hear speaking about the same things that I'm talking about now, and the world just ignores it, doesn't want to hear it, or I don't even know what reasons they have. I met a young lady the other day. I want to tell a really quick story. This cracked me up. I met a young lady the other day, and, you know, it was obvious to me that she was Middle Eastern. I mean, you know, those of us that spend any time in the Middle East can pretty much pick somebody out by their facial features, their accent, etc. She was Middle Eastern. Where are you from? I had to ask. She said Palestine. Okay, I let that slide. There is no such thing as Palestine. There never was. There was a Palestinian mandate. And the only way you can claim being a Palestinian in my book is if you were born in that area pre-1948 when it was referred to as Palestine. But other than that, there is no Palestine. I let it slide even though she was in her 20s. Okay, really? Where's your mom and dad from? Get this, folks. Yafo. You know the area, Tel Aviv, Yafo? that area, inside Israel, what has always been since day one part of Israel, but she called it Palestine. Didn't matter to her. And I even looked her square in the eye and I said, you really can call yourself an Israeli. You are aware of that, right? She wanted no part of that. And as long as we have people like that, as long as we have individuals who keep thinking like that, we are never going to solve this issue. There is no Palestine. There has never been a Palestine. They've never had a flag. They've never had a mayor. They've never had a president. They do not, nor have they ever existed. And as far as I'm concerned, they never will. We'll see everybody next week. Shalom and lehitrot.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
If you're hearing this message, everyone else can too. Advertise with Israel News Talk Radio and get your message out to people. We'll build a personalized package for you. Contact advertising at israelnewstalkradio.com.
Straight talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.